This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, May 13th. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's great to be with you this morning on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. We begin every hour here on the show always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air. Every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has invited us to fast and to pray the rosary in a special way. Here at Relevant Radio, we'll be fasting and praying for peace in our world and for the end to legal abortion in the United States. You too can answer our bishop's call to pray the rosary for these intentions and to bring your own intentions to the heart of our Blessed Mother Mary. You can join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app and on our website this evening at 7 p.m. Central. It's going to be a very special rosary in honor of Our Lady of Fatima. And we invoke Our Lady when we pray, Our Lady of Fatima, Queen of Peace, pray for us. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, 1. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Our Blessed Mother Mary, the same lady that appeared to the three children of Fatima on this day in 1917, she is the woman clothed with the sun. Mary's mission for over two millennia has always been to lead us to her son, Jesus, the light of the world. She is Our Lady of the Rosary, the star of the new evangelization, our Queen Mother that always says to us, do whatever He tells you, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, as we've been talking about all morning, today is the 105th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. This is a special day for this reporter. Actually, I came back to the Catholic faith because of the miraculous apparitions at Fatima. In fact, the message of Our Lady of Fatima includes a call to conversion of heart, repentance from sin, and a dedication to the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially through praying the Holy Rosary on a daily basis. I believe that the message of Our Lady of Fatima is more relevant today than ever before for America and for the whole world. Beginning on May 13, 1917, three shepherd children claimed the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother, appeared to them with a series of messages from heaven. The children named Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta said Our Lady had asked them to come on the 13th of every month and continue to pray the rosary every day to obtain peace for the world and an end to the war. Our Lady also promised a miracle, which would take place at noon on October 13, 1917, so that all would believe. On that day, an estimated multitude of 70 to 100,000 were gathered in a rainy and muddy field. Shortly after noon, the crowd witnessed an unprecedented solar phenomenon as the sun, looking like a ball of fire, appeared to come crashing towards the earth. After 12 minutes, it returned to normal, and the people's clothes were perfectly dry, as reported by the Lisbon newspaper O Seculo, with testimonies of tens of thousands of eyewitnesses, including skeptics and atheists.
Many of the people that went there that day were curious and non-believers, and to have a miracle of that magnitude happen, they instantly believed.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
Just, you know, changed my life, and then everything around me is just bringing people to God.
And Our Lady said that it's very important for us to say the rosary every day.
Our Lady of Fatima said so many people go to hell because nobody prayed for them.
Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, is the CEO and chairman of Relevant Radio.
Well, you know, at Fatima, there were those extraordinary prophecies of the Blessed Mother to the three shepherd children, in which she mentioned that, among other things, that if Russia were not consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, the entire church would have a lot to suffer, the Pope would have a lot to suffer, and entire countries would be annihilated and such. And all of those prophecies came true.
On May 13, 2017, Pope Francis traveled to the shrine of Fatima, Portugal, to celebrate the historic centennial of the apparitions and to canonize two of the children, now Saints Francisco and Jacinta Marto. Father Rocky on the message of Our Lady.
Well, I think the main part of the message is that if we do not repent, we will bring upon ourselves the calamity of our own sins. Sin is the mystery of evil, mysterium iniquitatis, and God uses special situations to bring us back to our knees. And I think that was the message of Fatima. We need to repent from our evil and make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady and to our Lord for our sinfulness. Otherwise, we will suffer the consequences of the seeds we sow.
The messages given of Fatima are still true for us today, maybe more so than at that time, that we've got to pray, that we've got to do penance, and we've got to work to obtain conversion, because the battle is heating up between good and evil.
The message of Our Lady of Fatima is still very relevant. It's simply return to God. And we'll have much more on Our Lady of Fatima and her message with David Carolla with the World Apostolate of Fatima a little bit later at the bottom of the hour. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, as we've been reporting for days, vandals have targeted at least five pro-life crisis pregnancy centers across our nation within a week after a leaked draft opinion signaled the Supreme Court is poised to strike down Roe v. Wade. The draft opinion has sparked a wave of pro-choice extremist protests at the Supreme Court, the justices' private residence, at Catholic churches, at pro-life organizations across our country, and even more are expected this weekend.
I think it could be overturned, and then it's going to become a war on women's rights again, something that our mothers and grandmothers already did before, and I can't believe that they now have to live through this again, and that there might be back alley abortions again, because abortions, it's never going to be banned. It's never going to go away. All they're doing now is just sacrificing women's health.
Joining us now from the Chicago area is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito, for much more reaction on all these protests by these pro-abortion extremists. Mary is an attorney, public speaker, and commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She holds the position of the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the Nicholas Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to be with you.
Great. Good morning, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Mary, we've been talking about this now for a while. All of these protests that have been going on all over the place, even in front of the homes of the Supreme Court justices. What can we expect this upcoming weekend?
Oh, you know, I don't even know what to expect. This is really outrageous, the lengths that abortion advocates are going to try to intimidate not just the justices, but also pro-life groups and advocacy groups and pregnancy centers, because they're so outraged that, you know, the people of the United States will now decide on, you know, abortion law and abortion policy in their own states. And again, I know we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating that, you know, all Roe versus Wade being overturned will do is to give the power back to the individual people of the individual states in this country, because the Constitution is silent on abortion, and it leaves it to the people to decide in each state what kind of laws that they feel comfortable with for the people in that state. So it really does allow what the American public thinks to have a role here, and it allows science to have a role, right? You can have testimony from doctors and neonatologists. And if the other side was so confident that the vast majority of American people, as they keep saying, support Roe versus Wade, then turn it back to the states. You shouldn't be afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that, because actually I have seen polls when they ask people very specific questions about abortion. And when they do, people make real distinctions between times in pregnancy and reasons for having abortions. So you see only about 18% of Americans support what Roe versus Wade allows legally, which is for all 9 months and for any reason. So again, I have no problem turning this back to the states. It becomes an issue that the people decides, and it's very interesting that, you know, for many other things, groups like this don't want government involved in their lives, right? But now with abortion, they want government completely involved, you know, dictating everything from whether or not, you know, Catholic doctors and hospitals can be forced to have abortions to doing them right up into 9 months of pregnancy, you know. And again, we've talked about this as well, John, earlier, you know, that's where countries like North Korea and China have their law. We don't want to be in the same category. Americans are not, you know, that cruel and that dismissive of human life. We're not that kind of country. And so we need to get off that list with North Korea and China that permit abortion up until birth, and start having a more humane abortion law and policy that reflects the will of the American people.
We have heard the chants, "My body, my choice," the passion behind some of these protesters, and some of it is really ill-conceived. It's not reasonable or logical, some of the things that they're arguing and saying, you know, in many of these protests.
Oh, it's and you know what? It's the rage is actually kind of frightening. I was listening to a lengthier story yesterday where an organization was playing back some of the voicemails that had been left for them. I believe this was at Wisconsin Pro-Life, Pro-Family, that organization that was firebombed. And some of the messages, I mean, are terrifying. And interestingly enough, John, they're almost all from men.
Wow.
They're almost all from men who, you know, are saying, you know, you people are going to burn in hell and you'll pay for what you're doing. And just saying, I mean, you can just hear like the evil in their voice. It's very frightening. And I don't often say things like that, you know, and I do find myself saying the St. Michael prayer a little more often than I would on an average day. And I mean, not because I've been personally targeted in any way. I think I got one very nasty, angry, you know, filled with expletive emails. But it does, you know, the Lord warned us of this, right? I mean, we knew that there's this kind of reaction because abortion is evil. And so when it's threatened, right, the evil one is going to go to work. And I just would ask, you know, Catholics, pray for people who are kind of in the crosshairs here, who are the public figures that have been on the forefront of trying to bring about a more just and humane law that protects unborn children, because it sounds like these groups are not going to let up. I have seen some reports on Twitter and on Facebook and in other arenas that the group Ruth sent us plans to go to Catholic churches this weekend to obtain the Eucharist in order to burn it and to desecrate it. So I would ask Catholics to be very prayerful and vigilant. Obviously, wait, you know, get anything you can on a cell phone. Don't engage these people. Wait for the ushers to call the police or alert an usher, but be vigilant. I mean, just, you know, it's very unlikely that it's going to be happening in your average parish church. But again, it's, you know, we've been forewarned, so we have the information that they might do this. I certainly wouldn't put it past them. So it is just something to make yourself aware of.
Well, I think it's very fitting with all these potential sacrileges against the Holy Eucharist that on this day, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the U.S. Bishops are asking us to pray and to fast, and especially to pray the rosary for an end to legal abortion and also for an end to any of this potential violence that could happen in our country.
Right. I mean, prayer and fasting, we know, are so powerful, especially when you couple the fasting with prayer. And, you know, and I'm sure you talked about this during Lent, you can make fasting something as simple as, you know, not listening to your favorite radio show, except this one. You could make it, you know, just giving up dessert that day. You don't have, you know, of course, you could do a full bread and water fast if you wanted to, but you're not required to do that. Any small sacrifice that you can make for this intention, God can use, and if you put it into Our Lady's hands and ask her to take it, she'll take it and she'll multiply it. So it's really, I think, good that the bishops have asked us to do this in unison, because many of us doing it for the same intention will, you know, have even more power and hopefully will stem some of this rage that's going to be now directed at the Blessed Sacrament. And you, I find it kind of ironic because the group calls themselves Ruth Sent Us, and it's for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was herself a proponent of legal abortion. She believed that abortion should be legal, but she never thought Roe was a good decision. In fact, she warned publicly in a talk she gave at a law school in New York that Roe was standing on very shaky ground and that it would be better for people who wanted to keep abortion legal and readily available that they look for another place to ground it other than the 14th Amendment, because, you know, she essentially said it's not there. And this is not a strongly thought-out decision. It is very vulnerable to being overturned. And, of course, she was absolutely right. So she herself had criticized Roe in terms of the way it was just kind of out of whole cloth, the court found a right to abortion out of nowhere, because, again, the Constitution's silent on it. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg also was someone who could get along with people that she disagreed with on matters of law and on policy and on jurisprudence. She was famously very close to Justice Antonin Scalia, who was one of the most court's most conservative members. They went to the opera regularly together. Their families had dinner together. So she was able to put aside animosity and differences of opinion to be friends with and to know people personally who disagreed with her on things. So I cannot imagine in a million years, if she were still alive, she would be advocating for her followers to go to Catholic churches, disrupt masses, commit sacrileges, and to, you know, engage in illegal acts like firebombing and threatening people in order to get your point across. She very much believed that this was a nation of laws and that we are a fair people, and that we work things out the right way. We don't try to, certainly she would not approve of anyone going to the homes of her colleagues and threatening judges in order to try to intimidate them into getting a certain outcome in a case. I mean, it's, you know, you can certainly protest and free assembly and protest our rights we have as Americans, but it's another thing altogether if you're trying to intimidate a judge who has a case before him or her. And even of all places, I couldn't believe it, the Washington Post had something where they went through you know, kind of piece by piece why it is actually illegal to be protesting at the home of a judge and to threaten a judge, because the judges, of course, hold the rights of other people. And imagine if this were, for example, a civil rights case and you had a judge that was going to overrule something like segregation and people tried to intimidate that judge into not doing it. That's why we have laws that protect the judiciary from this kind of involvement.
Mary, the mainstream media would be going absolutely berserk if that were to happen.
And rightly so, because we have to have some principles and some guidelines and some lines in this country that we don't cross. And intimidating judges into doing something because you're angry that it's not going to go your way, that is not the way we solve problems or differences in the United States of America. And we have a Constitution that protects everyone. And in some cases, you know, we know this because we have fetal homicide laws, right? In many states, if you kill an unborn child in any other context other than abortion, you get charged with homicide or with manslaughter, you know? So we protect the unborn in our laws in other areas. And it's about time that the laws started being more consistent in terms of the value that we assign to unborn human life. And the law does protect the unborn in other circumstances, and our abortion law, because right now they're wildly inconsistent. They're they're just miles and miles apart. And the court returning the issue to the people will allow us to do that.
Mary, the final minute that we have, it doesn't appear that all of these protests outside of the homes of the justices is going to work. They've already said, a number of them, that they're not going to change their minds. In fact, who would have thought that you had to have the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, asking the U.S. Department of Justice to provide extra security for these Supreme Court justices? Why? Because of the threat at their homes.
Yeah, and an 8-foot fence now has to be was erected in front of the court to keep people away from the building. And again, remember, a number of the justices have young children. Justice Amy Coney Barrett has young children. So does Justice Kavanaugh. Grade school age children, and you know they're being threatened too. And you think, you know, it's not the fault, not that that their parents have done anything wrong, but they're not involved in this yet. They're being targeted as well. I mean, this just shows you that. Depths to which the other side will stoop to what to keep, you know, the killing of unborn children legal up until the moment of birth. I mean, it's when you look at the reason that they're doing what they're doing, it's not for a noble purpose. It is in order to allow themselves and other people to kill unborn children up until the day before they're born. That's not who we are as American people, and certainly Americans do not allow other people to be bullied into doing something using force and intimidation.
Well, Mary, we continue to pray for the end of legal abortion, and we also continue to pray for the justices. As always, thanks so much for your perspective and for being with us this morning.
My pleasure, and happy Fatima Day to everyone out there. Ask Our Lady for a special favor today. She is generous on special days.
Our Lady of Fatima, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Thanks to Mary Helen Fiorito, and you can find her always on Twitter, at Mary Fiorito. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. We're going to yet speak some more about today's feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. We'll discuss Our Lady's message with David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. Stay with us. There's much more to come in the final half hour of Morning Air after this timeout. Let me ask you a question. Can the Catholic Church have a future if we Catholics don't understand our past? Experience history the way it should be taught in a free online class from Christendom College. Just go to principlesclasses.com. Welcome back to Morning Air on this feast of Our Lady of Fatima. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this Friday morning. Now, today, as we've been talking about during the show, is the 105th anniversary of Our Blessed Mother's first appearance at Fatima on May 13, 1917. On this day in 1981, Pope St. John Paul II was shot in St. Peter's Square, and he believed that Our Lady of Fatima redirected the bullet and saved his life. I believe that at this time and this moment in history, the message of Our Lady of Fatima is more relevant today than ever before for the whole world and especially for America. Joining us live from New Jersey with much more on the importance of Our Lady of Fatima's message for today is David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of USA and Our Lady's Blue Army. Good morning, David. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Great to be with you, especially on this feast day of Our Lady of Fatima.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it is a great feast. It's the beginning of our season, as we call it. You know, of course, our season never ends. I love we talk around here about the off-season, and my employees look at me like, what do you mean off-season? We're busy throughout the year, but this is our shrine season. It starts today, and it is this is the great event. This was the first apparition of Our Lady to the children, and it's just very special. And you're right, as you said, this is more relevant now than ever. You know, turn on the news. Look what's going on. I mean, there's a solution. It's here. It really is what was given to us 105 years ago. And as you you said, St. Pope John Paul II said that Fatima is more relevant today than it was in 1917. And I contend, as you have said too, it's more relevant even today than when he said it. Because you see what's happening, and we have solutions to the problems of the world.
Absolutely. And Fatima, of course, has been in the news in recent months with the renewed consecration of Russia and Ukraine by our Holy Father, Pope Francis. And so we continue to try to live out the message of Our Lady of Fatima.
Yeah, we truly do. And that consecration was beautiful. And I think, but like all consecrations, and we've spoken of this before, now it falls on us, okay? You know, a lot of grace was merited, I truly believe, by that act, by our Holy Father, by so many bishops, priests, and laity who joined in. Certainly, there's great grace that comes from that. But then God, you know, like I say, God opens a door. Now, we have to walk through it. And if we do not, you know, pick up the mantle and work towards this triumph of the Immaculate Heart, it's moot. It comes to us. Now it's like everything. Free will has to play in, and we as a people have to accept this. As a nation here, as the nations of the world in general have to, we have to understand that if we want peace and if we want true tranquility in this world, it's only going to come by living in accord with natural law and accord with the laws of God. Well, been laid out forever.
David, it's hard to believe, but there's still a ton of people in the world who don't really know the story or the message of Our Lady of Fatima. In fact, we're talking about our brothers and sisters in the Catholic faith. Can you give us a brief overview of the series of events that began with the message of an angel the year before and what happened on this day, May 13, 1917, in that little town of Fatima in Portugal?
Yeah, very true, John. And it's just that, and you, as you said, it started a year before. And Sister Lucia would later say that those, in many ways, were the most important apparitions of Fatima, where the Angel of Peace came, not to minimize anything Our Lady brought them, but the fact is they were trained spiritually. You know, they had no idea what was coming, but they took their Catholic faith, and this angel showed them the prayers of adoration, showed them, you know, gave them the Eucharist. I mean, this is amazing, because the Eucharist is the foundation of the Fatima message, and it's also it is the foundation of our faith. Let's be realistic. You know, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And we are at a point where so few people even accept that anymore. And even Catholics, it said, 60, maybe 70% of nominal Catholics don't even believe in the real presence. Well, wow. You wonder why our church is having the issues it's having, and of course why society is. And that's why we have a great push that we're going for this year in our 75th anniversary. This is ours, the 105th anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima, and the 75th anniversary of the founding of the Blue Army, our foundational organization. We are today the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, part of the International Association, which is a public association of the faithful. We're still Our Lady's Blue Army, founded in 1947 to be, you know, to be that Blue Army of prayer to counter that Red Army of atheistic communism. Atheism. That was what we were fighting, and that's what we fought then. And the belief in the Eucharist is foundational to all of this. You know, and the fact that the Fatima apparitions began with the Eucharist in 1916, it shows you, you know, Our Lady does not come for herself. She came to, obviously, to turn us to our Lord, because that's the ultimate goal. That's our Catholic faith.
The prayers that the angel taught the little children, the little shepherd children, Lucia Francisco and Jacinta Marto, in 1916, were very Eucharistic, very beautiful. Prayers like, right. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you, and I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Just beautiful prayers that, yeah, to this day are powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And that's our mission statement. Okay, we are here to believe, adore, and then to make, you know, to make reparation for those who do not, and bring them to believe and to adore and to trust, you know, to hope in Him and to love. That's what it's all about. That's what, I mean, really, again, it is our Catholic faith. It's what we've been told all along, what we were taught from the time we received our first communion, our parents, or if we're converts when we first came into the faith. This is what it's all about, and the Eucharistic prayers and the adoration. And the children even said that these weren't even things that were taught to them in words. These words were put into their hearts. It shows you, because this is, you know, the Fatima message and the Fatima spirituality is the spirituality of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which she would later present in the later apparitions. And because we have to, if we have a heart like Mary, then we will be living in accord with the laws of God.
David, and we're joined this morning by David Carolla, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA and Our Lady's Blue Army. David, can you imagine what the children went through on this day? They're out there with the sheep, they're shepherds, and all of a sudden something miraculous happens when the Blessed Mother appears to them. Can you kind of tell us briefly the story of what happened today?
Yeah, it is really amazing. I mean, here's the story of the three children. Certainly they had this manifestation the year before. So their spirituality was becoming developed. But they're just doing they're living their lives. They were shepherd children. This is a little simple town in central Portugal, and at the time, of course, now it's, you know, it's a center of tourism. But then what was it? It was a little rural area, and they're tending sheep in this huge pasture. And yes, and this light comes, and this lady appears. Our Lady appears to them. This beautiful manifestation. I mean, it's hard to explain. She came and hovered over the holm oak tree, and it was such a beautiful thing. And Jacinta and Lucia, they were able to see her right away. Francisco was not. Okay, and it was frustrating for him because he knew what was there. Eventually, he was able to see her. We never heard her voice, but he probably became one of the most focused. Well, they were all focused, but so extremely focused on, on the whole manifestation. But what stayed with him so strongly was what happened the year before with the Eucharist. And, you know, maybe he had to show more faith because he wasn't given it directly in words, but he was extremely devoted to the Eucharist. He would be found in church praying by the tabernacle constantly, and he would refer to praying to the hidden Jesus. You know, so really, it affected every one of them in a different way. You know, sister, you know, a little young Jacinta, she was gregarious, and she was so filled with zeal. And from the time she saw Our Lady and just the beauty of it, you know, I mean, it's hard to say how, but she came and she introduced herself. And that was it. She didn't, I want you to come back now on the next, you know, 5 months to come back on the 13th at noon. And it was introductory, but it all started with the salutation, always be not afraid. Just like the angel said to them, just like the angel said to Our Lady, you know, at the Annunciation, be not afraid. You know, our Lord has designs of mercy on you. And it's just, they knew that they had this very special mission. You know, maybe the mission was being laid out, and it would be laid out more strongly in June and then July, of course, when they saw the vision of hell. But throughout those months, this one was to solidify them and welcome them now to this very special time.
And beginning with Lucia's parents and including the civil authorities in Fatima, and no one believed the children. They doubted them. They did not believe the children. And we've seen this time and time again. It happened with Bernadette at Lourdes as well.
That's right.
Juan Diego with the bishop. But we've seen it so many times.
Well, see, God comes to simple people. Our Lady appeared to these simple people, Juan Diego, Saint Bernadette, you know, these Fatima children, you know, because we have to have the humility to listen to them, and that's what it's all about. Okay, these are simple people, and you're right. You know, but Lucia, throughout her life, in that book that we sell, The Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary, which is available on our website, BlueArmy.com, she talks even about her life, and one of her heartbreaks was that her mother never truly accepted everything, and it was a pain for her because she was her whole life had been changed. Her whole life had gone in a direction that she didn't expect, and her mother loved her, But their family suffered a lot. That was their land over there that was trampled by all the pilgrims that came afterwards, their livelihood. So it was a difficult time for her family. And the fact that they were not powerful with her, it was a heartbreak throughout.
There's so much to talk about when it comes to our Lady of Fatima. Obviously, everything culminated with the great miracle of the sun on October 13th, and we're going to dive into that in a moment. But first, we need to take a break. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to share your devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, if you've ever actually traveled to the Shrine of Fatima in Portugal, if Our Lady of Fatima means something to you, we're taking your calls for David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll take a short break. We'll continue our discussion with David Carollo. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this.
And actually, this is my fourth journey to Fatima, and I felt especially called this year to come and pray for special graces and ask them of the Blessed Mother.
These places for us in faith, they are places that the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Jesus, has come to, has visited, has stepped on. It is, in that sense, holy ground. And the presence of God through her is still with us, and one can touch that and sense it, feel it.
The messages given to Fatima are still true for us today, maybe more so than at that time, that we've got to pray, that we've got to do penance, and we've got to work to obtain conversion, because the battle is heating up between good and evil.
The battle indeed is heating up between good and evil. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio on the Relevant Radio app. We're celebrating the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us this morning as we continue our conversation with David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA and Our Lady's Blue Army. If you'd like to be part of our discussion, if Our Lady of Fatima has been a part of your faith, if she's touched your heart, if she's brought you closer to Jesus, feel free to give us a call, 888-914-9149. David, there's so much that we can talk about as far as these series of apparitions for those 6 months as Our Lady asks the children to return on the 13th of every month for the next 5 months until October. Can you give us a couple highlights of what happened during those apparitions leading up to the great miracle on October 13th?
Yeah, John, it's like, you know, it's a call to action. It's really what Fatima is all about and was then. You know, started with this introduction. In June, she came and she presented for the first time the Immaculate Heart. Wow. That was to give us the future as to where we were going to go. July, of course, she showed that terrible vision of hell. The vision of hell. And you know, I've spoken many places, and I remember even come priest said, well, let's not scare children with this and that. I'm not scaring. I don't want to scare anybody. The fact is, actions have consequences, and we have to understand that. We shouldn't be afraid of it. We should understand it. That's a road we don't need to go down. Okay? We need to follow the path, you know, laid out by Our Lady. But it's unfortunate because there is, I think we have downplayed that, even in the church today in our society, that we don't want to look at the scarier parts. We want to look at the uncomfortable parts. No, the fact is we have to live by the Ten Commandments. This goes back to the Old Testament. This is what Moses brought down from the Mount. Those Ten Commandments tell you everything. If you're going to go to confession, you're going to do an examination of conscience, go through the Ten Commandments. I was always taught that. You know, how are you living these, or which ones are you breaking? You know, well, I mean, that's really all Fatima was about. But then after July, their mission was really, you know, their mission to save souls was really laid out to them. And then, you know, and then of course came August when they were held in prison, September when they came back, and then of course October, the great miracle of the sun. And the miracle of the sun was given so that people would believe, and they did. And 70,000 people were there in that day, and the witnesses, what they said, even the, I have hanging on my office wall right here, a copy of the article in O Siculo, which was a Portuguese newspaper, the secular paper, where he was sent there that day to do a hatchet job on the whole thing, and he was converted as he watched it, as he witnessed the miracle of the sun. So it was there so that people would believe. And I think that's really what it's all about. You know, and it was a predicted miracle, very unusual. I mean, in history, we weren't given those. And but the point was, this is real. Listen to these children. You know, the next 2 years, they died. The two children died in the Spanish flu, Jacinta and Francisco. And now here's Sister Lucia. When they had asked her lady, are we going to go to heaven? And she said, I will take Jacinta and Francisco soon, but you, Lucia, will have to stay a while longer to make me known and loved. Wow, a while. It's 88 years. Kind of makes you think of eternity, doesn't it? And in that time, she lived as a nun. Her process is working forward, and it's amazing because I'm told there are 60,000, 70,000 documents that they have to review because when Our Lady told her to learn to read and write, well, she did, and she communicated with everybody for these years. But later she brought us two beautiful things. In 1925, when Our Lady appeared to her in the convent in Pontevedra, Spain, and gave her the first Saturday's devotion. And John, I honestly believe, in light of this beautiful consecration that was done on March 25th, and the grace that was merited from that, now it's back on us to get to work. And the way we fulfill the Fatima message, completely fulfill it, is by fulfilling the request for the first Saturday's devotion, because we have to, again, we're making reparation, for the blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, her divine maternity, perpetual virginity, the blasphemy of instilling in children, in the hearts of children, contempt for Our Lady, and the desecration of her images. And you look at these black masses that were going on. I saw an account of one, and what did it consist of? The desecration of a consecrated host and the desecration of a statue of Our Lady. They go together. Our Lady and Our Lord are together in everything. We've got a beautiful initiative right now called the Great Promise Passport. And what we've done, we're asking people to participate. They go to our website, bluearmy.com, and download the Great Promise Passport. And what you're doing for the 5 months is you're going to fulfill the requirements of First Saturday to go to confession, receive Holy Communion, pray 5 decades of the Rosary, and the most important part of my belief, not more than the Eucharist, of course, but is keeping Our Lady company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. Then you take a selfie with a picture of a statue of Our Lady, and you send it in, and they send you the tag, and in 5 months, you've fulfilled the 5 requirements to do the 5 First Saturdays, making reparation for these blasphemies. Which is beautiful. But I will say this, once you fulfill the 5, don't stop. Make this the first Saturday's devotion. Make this a part of your prayer life, of your devotional life, to continue it. Pray for others, your family members, your other, you know, you can keep doing this first Saturday devotion for others. And believe me, I believe once enough people really embrace and really fulfill the requirement of the first Saturdays, I believe we will see the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. I just feel it's there. You know, we're on a threshold of greatness here. I'm excited because as bad as this world is, as horrible as the news is and everything, remember, it's always darkest right before the dawn. And I think we are at a time where we are moving into this period of beauty. And the enemy's working harder than ever to derail everything we're doing because he knows his time is limited.
David, on this day, I can't help but think and remember Pope St. John Paul II being shot in St. Peter's Square on May 13th, 1981. Can you talk about the significance of that event and the connection to the Third Secret of Fatima?
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, when he was shot, that really opened his eyes about Fatima. Now, St. Pope John Paul II was focused on it, but his papacy started targeting one of the biggest things that were warned at Fatima, and that was about Russia's errors. You know, remember, he came from Poland. He came from he fought the communists, and he fought those errors that Our Lady spoke about in 1917. Russia will spread her errors. Well, Poland was a captive nation at that point. My own wife comes from Poland. I know, speak to my in-laws. My mother-in-law to this day will tell you, you know, some of the stories of what it was like. And when this happened, I think he realized, he saw that statue of Lady of Fatima. He turned away. I think they say, didn't it kind of catch his eye and he turned? And that's what caused the bullet to miss his heart, really. I mean, this is amazing. He knew that Our Lady of Fatima, had everything to do with this. He saw, he wanted the documents, the secret, the third part of the secret that had been held at the Vatican for all those years. He wanted to see it. He eventually released it in 2000 for many reasons why it wasn't. He said because if it had been released earlier, it would have maybe caused things to happen. You know, it would have become self-fulfilling prophecies. Was he the Pope in there? It's hard to say. I mean, I believe he could have been. But in the end, when you see the vision of the Holy Father, you know, climbing the mountain to the cross amongst the burned-out city and the bodies of the martyrs, you know, that can also represent the Church in the condition it's in today. But it's our job to adhere to the Fatima message and correct all of that. And I believe that's what St. John Paul II wanted us to take from this.
David, in the final 90 seconds that we have, just your thoughts on the power of the rosary that Our Lady asked us to pray every day. We were looking at so many threats by the forces of darkness. The issue of abortion in our country right now is such a spiritual battle, and yet all of this can be overcome with prayer. Final word.
Well, the rosary is our prayer. When our founder, Mr. Hafford, in 1947, sat with Sister Lucia and worked out the pledge, which is still on our website. If you go to BlueArmy.com, sign the pledge, the same one worked out in 1947. He asked her, "What is it that Our Lady wants the most?" And he said, "It's the recitation of the rosary, I assume." And she said to him, kind of with a smile, "No, she wants us to become holy." Well, the rosary is the path to holiness because it's the prayer of our salvation. When you meditate, as Our Lady asks in the first Saturdays, to meditate on the mysteries of the rosary, keeping her company. And if you come to BlueArmy.com, we have many resources to help you do that, and we'd love to share it with you and have you join us, sign the pledge, and become a part of our movement.
BlueArmy.com. David, thank you so much. I so much appreciate your passion and your expertise on the message of Our Lady of Fatima. Thank you once again.
Well, thank you, John. Always great to be with you.
David Carolla, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA and Our Lady's Blue Army. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Three Strands of Hair. Once a woman woke up in the morning only to realize that she had only three strands of hair left on her head. "Well," she said, "I think I'll braid my hair today." She braided her hair and she had a wonderful day. When she got up the next day and looked in the mirror, she noticed she had just two strands of hair left on her head. She said, "I think I'll part my hair down the middle today." So she parted her hair in the middle and she had a great day. The next day she woke up, looked in the mirror, and noticed she had only one hair on her head. "Well," she said, "today I'm going to wear my hair in a ponytail." And so she did, and she had a fun day. The next day she woke up and noticed there wasn't a single hair on her head. "Yippee," she exclaimed, "I don't have to fix my hair today." Attitude is everything. Philippians 4:11-13 finds St. Paul teaching us, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength."
And that's really what it's all about. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks so much, Glenn. Jesus is our strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And also, don't forget the power of prayer. No matter what the problem is, no matter how difficult it is, whether it's temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, it can be solved by the Holy Rosary. Those are the words of Sister Lucia at Fatima. And so let's continue to pray and fast today on this feast day, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. For an end to legal abortion, pray the rosary with Father Rocky on the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight for a special edition, and also pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy this afternoon at 3 p.m. with Drew Mariani. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for the entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless you. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us.